It's an unusual night in LA because it's freezing outside. Freezing for LA, so I think it's, you know, 43 to 45 degrees, which is good because it keeps all the meat and stuff cold and it's been dumped.
Oh, here's the meat.
No antibiotics ever. No added hormones ever. Free range.
It's good meat. All of these perfectly good eggs because one was cracked. Didn't even get all over the other ones. Just threw them all away. This is what they're doing with everything. They have bags of avocados. One goes bad, they throw the entire bag of avocados out. Apples, oranges, everything. They're just tossing it for no good reason. They're all good. These are all good eggs.
A clip from director Jeremy Seifert's film Dive about feeding his family from Los Angeles dumpsters. With a rise in awareness about how food is produced and the resources required to feed the world, Seifert says it's time we reckon with the massive amount of food waste in America. He told Steve Paulson about the gastronomical treasures he's found in the trash.
Every kind of food you can think of, from organic free-range whole chickens to ahi tuna, baby broccoli, sourdough bread. I even found a 12-pack of porter beer, with one of them was broken.
So even if just one bottle or can is broken, they're going to throw out the whole thing?
It depends on the store and the situation. You know, if the employees can sneak it out, they probably will. But otherwise, yeah, they're going to throw it away. And you know, at a store like Trader Joe's, where they package up their tomatoes in plastic 4 to a pack, if one of those tomatoes gets moldy, they consistently throw away the whole pack.
Now, I would think with some of this food, it would be fairly obvious whether it is beyond the edible stage. A tomato, for instance, I mean, you can kind of tell if it's rotting. With meat, that, I would think, would be much more complicated. How do you know if it's still good to eat?
Well, we had to learn a lot about food as we went on these dumpster dives because I was taking it home and feeding it to my wife and 2-year-old son. So I wanted to be really careful. You know, the first thing is to look at the expiration date and make sure that they are, in fact, throwing it away the day before it expires, so you know when it was thrown away. And we would always feel it and make sure it was cold, so we knew, okay, this has been thrown away within the hour or two. And then the other thing was to begin to trust my nose. I mean, you can really learn how to smell something and know if it's good or bad.
So do you go by the expiration date then? I mean, if you find, let's say, meat that is beyond the expiration date, would you not take it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, expiration dates, by and large, are pretty bogus. They're a part of a very paranoid, litigious society. And, you know, the producers and the markets trying to protect themselves and being overly cautious with the expiration dates. I mean, things are typically good a week or 2 weeks beyond the expiration date, especially things like yogurt and cheese and these types of things. And meat is as well. So a little brown in your steak actually can make it more tender.
The chicken was looking a little funky, a little like purplish.
Food makes up about 20% of landfill waste, which means we're feeding our landfills as much as we're feeding our country. So instead of rotting underground, packed beneath the earth and producing harmful methane gas, this garbage was feeding my family and friends and doing it in style.
Well, this will be blood orange and onion salad with a tranchon of salmon stuffed with feta cheese and spinach rescued from your local dumpster and a beautiful blood orange citrus beurre blanc.
But if all this food is still edible, or at least a lot of it that ends up in the dumpster, why are the stores throwing it out?
I think that's the big question, and I think there are a number of answers for that. One, I think, is ignorance of the Good Samaritan law, which was put into being in 1996 under Bill Clinton, and that frees up food providers to give any and all food in good faith to food pantries, food shelters. Another, I think, is just that food waste is a bad habit born out of a society of excess. We all waste food, every one of us, almost every day, because we have excess and we don't have to think about it. And the same is true for these stores. And then some of it is just laziness, that to take the time to set it aside, to keep it refrigerated if need be, and to connect with local food banks and food pantries is harder than just throwing it away.
You mentioned the amount of waste that we all do when it comes to food, even those of us who are pretty conscientious about it. Are there any numbers as to how much food we actually waste in the United States?
Well, the estimate for the United States is 96 billion pounds of food get thrown out every year, which means that we throw about half of the food away in this country. And that translates to about 3,000 pounds every second.
We throw away half the food?
Half the food. And
that's
the United States. Yeah, it is. And one of the studies that arrived at that number was just actually looking at the number of people in this country, the average amount of food that we could eat, and the amount of food that we then produce or import and have. And we can only eat half of it. So we do throw away nearly half of it. And a recent report came out that said that around the world, 30% to 50% of food is thrown out worldwide, which is approximately 1.3 billion tons of food gets wasted or, you know, lost.
Now, it's one thing to understand this at kind of this policy or intellectual level. It's another thing to actually go and eat the food that ends up in the dumpster. Why did you decide to do this? Why did you take this on for your own family?
It was a very simple reason. Some friends were visiting from Philadelphia, and they brought over bags and bags of food and dumped it out on my kitchen floor. And they said, oh, didn't you know you can jump in the dumpster a mile down the street at Trader Joe's and get amazing food? And I didn't know. So a couple nights later, my friends and I went. And so we didn't begin this as any kind of social activism or to make a statement. We began simply because the food was there, and why not go get it? But once you eat trash, it changes the way you see the issue, and you awaken to food waste, and then beyond that, to this issue of hunger and need in our country.
And the way you portray this in your film, it wasn't just the occasional dumpster dive, sort of supplementing what you would buy in the store. It sounds like most of what you eat, or at least ate during a period, came out of the dumpster.
Yeah, exactly. For a good 2 years there, probably 50 to 70% of our food was coming out of the dumpsters. And at the time, I had a 2-year-old son and my wife was pregnant. So I was definitely raising my family on trash, to put it crudely. But times have changed for us and dumpster diving in this area. The Trader Joe's stores in this area of the world in Los Angeles have really stepped up their food donation and made great connections. So a lot of the dumpsters have changed radically for the better.
Now, you've mentioned Trader Joe's a couple of times, which in a lot of people's minds is a very good corporate citizen and tries to provide good food at a relatively inexpensive price. And yet you say they are one of the big offenders in terms of dumping out a lot of still edible food. And in fact, you went and tried to talk to management, both at your local store and at the national level. At one point you launched a letter writing campaign and got nowhere. Why are you picking on Trader Joe's?
I was originally picking on them because I love them, and they're my neighborhood, you know, my friendly neighborhood grocery store. And I was pulling a lot of food out of their dumpsters. And the biggest surprise for me was that they wouldn't talk to me.
Okay, so here we are at Trader Joe's Saturday afternoon. I'm going to go in and talk to them because I went to their website, and their website says that they prefer to talk face-to-face. I was just...
We're also not allowed to comment on anything in front of the camera. You know how it is.
Right. So none of the stores...
None of them will talk to you.
He's going to give me the card for the place I already called, which refused. So basically it's impossible to talk to anybody on camera. I mean, even off camera, they wouldn't discuss details, so...
I felt like, oh, I'll go into the corporate headquarters and tell them, hey, food pantries have empty shelves right now. This is 2008, the food crisis. You have a lot of food in your dumpsters. I think we can work something out here. And I didn't have a camera over my shoulder. I went in by myself. And they wouldn't talk to me about it. And endless phone calls. And then I started sending a letter to Dan Bain, the CEO, every single day. And actually, the first time they talked to me was after the film was made, and there was a story on NPR. And I was a part of that story, and so were they. And I called them up after that, and they were ready to talk.
Hmm. What did they say at that point?
The curious thing about that is that I went in and talked with Matt Sloan, the vice president of marketing, and I said, why am I talking to you? You're the vice president of marketing. Where's your sustainability person? He said, we don't have a sustainability person. I said, okay, well, that's your first problem. And since you did $8 billion of sales the previous year, I think you have enough money to afford that and take this more seriously. And they essentially responded with, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, but we're going to do it better.
Which means what?
Which is I don't know, that's rhetoric. They refused to adopt a corporate-wide policy to end food waste in all their stores. And I think they were scared of making such a big and bold commitment. And I was asking them to be a leader on this issue. And so they said, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, which is leaving it up to individual stores to make donations, but we're going to do it better. And from our pressure and, you know, different articles and interviews, they really have stepped up their food donations. So I'll give them a thumbs up on that. But we wanted them to go a step further and adopt a corporate-wide policy to end food waste. And we asked the same thing of Whole Foods and other grocery stores that don't have these policies in place.
Now, when you say you want them to donate the food to food pantries or shelters or something like that, how would that actually work? What would be the process where supermarkets could donate food?
The process is really simple and is happening, like I said, in many Trader Joe's in this area. And that's simply that the employees set aside all this food that's going to expire, or there's a bad tomato in a pack of four, or bread that's a little bit old, and they set it all aside, and they've made connections with local halfway houses, food pantries, food shelters, and they simply come and pick it up at a designated time every single day. And it's kept local, and that way people who need food can get good food and fresh food, not all this canned corn syrup USDA food.
And can this amount of food actually make a difference in these shelters?
I believe it can, yes, because grocery stores put out quite a bit of waste because we also live in a society that says we have to have everything all the time. And so stores have a burden placed on them by us, or maybe they've manufactured the desire in us. I'm not sure which it is, but you know, when you take an apple off that little pyramid of apples, some guy runs from the back of the store and puts another one on top because you don't want to see any half bare shelves in the grocery store. And because of that, there is a lot of waste. So I think it can make a difference in the hungry and the needy.
Jeremy Seifert is a writer and filmmaker from Los Angeles, California. His documentary is called Dive. Steve Paulson spoke with him.